This is the EPFR Exchange Podcast. All opinions expressed by Cam, Todd, and our podcast guests are solely of their own opinion and do not reflect the opinion of EPFR. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the EPFR Exchange Podcast. My name is Kirsten Longbottom, and I'm joined by EPFR's Director of Research, Cameron Brandt. We'll walk you through what data we were looking at in the past week, as well as what we'll look for in the upcoming week. Cam, quite a busy week. How have things been going lately?
Well, you know, as I noted in our most recent update, among other things, November in the U.S. is the month of gratitude. But when I thought from an economic and investing perspective what we should be grateful for.
Hard to pinpoint a few things.
Yes. Things didn't trip off the tongue. But yes, yeah, so it was definitely, it was another of those weeks where, you know, another frequently used metaphor is catching falling knives, you know, a series of events that, depending on other things, could play out in very different ways. And how you position yourself for those is the big question. Obviously, the big one was the Fed's latest meeting. No surprises with the amount of the hike, 75 basis points. But the post-meeting messaging had something for both sides of the pivot camp. Or the pivot argument. There was no doubt that Fed Chair Powell made it clear that the risks were to the upside in terms of inflation and needing to tighten to contain it. But he also signaled that, you know, as soon as they can, the Fed is likely to start cutting the size of the increases. And our flow sort of reflected that somewhat mixed.
We kind of saw bond funds revert to outflows in the latest week. At a more granular level, we saw interest for high yields, bank loans, and Europe bond. Was that, is that kind of the reaction you're talking about?
Yes, the, you know, the flows to bond funds reverse, but not in a kind of overwhelming fashion. Obviously, more of the reaction will be captured in the coming weeks' data. You know, on the whole, people didn't overreact. Obviously, no sooner had the Fed's meeting come and gone than another pretty important waypoint, the U.S. midterm elections, popped up on the immediate horizon. You know, and again, depending on your perspective and depending on how things play out, that could be very significant in good and bad ways. You know, if the Republicans start to block the more aggressive spending initiatives from the Biden administration, we are going to have a fiscal policy that's somewhat more aligned with where monetary policy is going, which should get us to the pivot point quicker. But obviously, you know, the when Democrats hold the White House and Republicans some part of the legislature, frequently economics gets lost in the culture wars. So, you know, we don't know how it'll play out and what sort of mindset the next Congress will have. But, you know, it's probably hard to react too strongly to the Fed when that was on the immediate horizon.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we saw Biden kind of talk as well on windfall taxes on oil companies and bank profits. So flows into energy sector funds were subdued this week, and financials posted their seventh outflow in 9 weeks. Are oil and gas related funds the guiding factor for energy currently, or is there something else in the picture?
Not really. I mean, as you noted, the individual fund with the biggest inflows had an oil and gas mandate. So I definitely think that the rhetoric coming out of various halls of government at the moment is not helpful to either energy or financials. And I think it's spilling over into utilities. The temptation when utility costs are rising to try and restrain them or limit the ability of the suppliers to collect owed monies is very high. I think investors are feeling that there's some hard to calculate risk in those particular sectors at the moment from a more aggressive form of intervention. As you also noted, investors are not reacting as if the headlines contain the absolute truth. And we saw that again in the technology sector fund flows. And you did a bit of digging into that at a more granular level, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Not only did we have a few big tech firms reporting their earnings this week, which was Amazon, Microsoft, and Apple. Some beat estimates, some didn't. So mixed earnings on that side. And that definitely plays a role in the way that investors react. We have seen technology sector funds take in money for 4 weeks straight now. Each of those inflows have been above $1 billion. So the interest is still there. But I did do a bit of deep diving into the fund level of our technology sector. And I found that there are 12, I would say, so far, big groupings that we can identify. Internet being the biggest one, and then followed by semiconductors, robotics, AI, and automation. The metaverse is also one of those, and cloud computing was another important one. Microsoft kind of signaled that cloud services could be an issue in the upcoming year, so we can kind of look at flows of our specific cloud computing funds to kind of gain a picture of that. What we did find was that semiconductors had their fifth inflow in the past 7 weeks, so interest remains there for them. Other funds that were showing clear, strong appetite were science-related funds, digital tech, and cloud computing as well. So an interesting deep dive, I would say, and more concrete maybe results from that can come out of it.
Right. Now, as we get those custom groups sort of established and start tracking them over longer periods, there should be some more interesting grist to shake out from that.
Definitely. So going back to politics a little bit more, we also saw Chinese President Yi maximize his control of power during the ruling Communist Party's 20th National Congress. He talked about boosting its technology to become more self-reliant and continuing with extreme, in some senses of the word, COVID policies. And that remains the focus. But have we noticed any reactions from investors in the flows that we track?
We have, but not the one. And we've talked a little bit about this before. But we're able to flow to filter the flows into China funds by sort of the currency of investors. A couple of interesting things there. There's definitely, until midsummer, the flows were pretty consistent both in renminbi and US dollar terms. But since July, US dollar denominated flows have tailed away without collapsing, while Chinese local currency flows have really taken off. I think what we're seeing is a sort of domestic support story. Again, as we've mentioned before, with capital controls being what they are in China, a lot of investors have to look at what's available within the Chinese market. Of the big three, of the big four, which would be equity, bonds, savings vehicles, which includes a lot coming out of the shadow banking system, and property. Really, the only one that doesn't have major clouds over it, even though the performance hasn't been great, is the equity. I think it's. I don't actually think Chinese investors are being unreasonable, beefing up. Valuations have dropped a lot. I still think, though they will do it very much on their own pace, that there will come a point when the COVID restrictions begin to be rolled back. And when that happens in a meaningful way, I think you'll see a real relief rally in Chinese equities. A lot depends on what happens too in those other sort of investable segments within China. The bond funds we track really experienced relentless redemptions for some time now. And that has links to the property sector, which also has links to the sort of wealth products that China's shadow banking sector kicks out frequently, involving various loans to property developers. So, with a less tolerant regulatory stance towards certainly property and the shadow banking, I think it's quite possible to expect a pretty rough period into next year before things settle down a bit.
Well, lots to talk about, clearly. And I once again think we could go on forever, but we will continue this conversation next week.
Yeah, having been to the polls and back.
So. Yeah, definitely. Well, it'll be interesting. And with National Gratitude Month going on, thank you for joining us again this week and providing all of your insight, as always. It's been great.
Good. Enjoyed your insight, too, on the sector front. So we'll resume battle again in a week.
Sounds good. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the EPFR Exchange podcast. For more information or to suggest a topic for a future podcast, please visit epfr.com/podcast.